I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is convenient. Look at that. We should have a piano here all the time. All right, so I've got this mug here, and I know you can't see it, but I'm going to show you anyway. On this mug is a picture of two infants. One has hair and one does not. The one that does not have hair is my daughter, Quinlan. For a while, we had the same haircut, and she grew out of it. I didn't. The one on the other side with hair is a little girl who's now a 12-year-old named Amanda Pensinger, and she is part of the Pensinger family who lived across the street from us in Nashville. Our kids all grew up together because when we moved to Nashville, we moved into this neighborhood, and when we were looking at the houses in Trayside, is the name of the neighborhood, Trayside, there was a house we saw, and on the street in front of it, we see a woman who looks to be about our age with a little boy who looks to be about my son Aiden's age, and turns out they're exactly the same age, and they lived right across the street from the house. And so we bought this house, and because both of us had kids that were the same age, we became really good friends. 3 years later, we both have daughters who are born. These two are born within a day of each other. Like, we were all at the hospital together. And what's on the other side is a picture of the state of Tennessee with a heart where Nashville is. And then there's a picture of the state of North Carolina with a heart where Winston-Salem is, and a little dotted line. And it says, "Friendship knows no distance." 430, I know, right? Isn't that awesome? So these two girls have been friends their entire life. And they FaceTime, and the thing is, with this family, because all of us had extended family that lived out of town from Nashville, we kind of became family to each other. And so it was that thing where, you know, holidays were spent together, you're leaning on each other when you need stuff. And also, we've been through, at this point, like, a lot of things together. We've been through deaths in the family, we've been through trauma, tragedy. They are some of the most significant relationships in my life. Now, here's why I tell you this. I wouldn't know them if we had not moved in across the street from them, you know, in 2003. But I didn't want to buy that house in Trayside. I didn't want it. We had been living in Pittsburgh, and we lived in like a blue-collar suburb south of the city. And man, we were moving to Nashville, and I was ready for something urban. I'm like, let's do like a hipster neighborhood and, like, I don't know, something where there's some edge and excitement. It's close to the action. And then you, like, sell your house in Pittsburgh. And even in 2003 Nashville dollars, that's expensive, you know, and you can't get close to the action. And so we end up, you know, 20 minutes from my work, 30 minutes from downtown, in like the most southwest corner of Nashville in the Bellevue neighborhood. And I didn't want it. And I also have major issues, if you know me and the kind of way my personality is wired, I have major anxiety about, like, buyer's remorse, that kind of dynamic where you're like, oh man, is this gonna be right? Is it not? Am I gonna be good at this? Is this the right place, the wrong place? And I was all tied up in my own nonsense and mess. And I kind of feel like if I had known, like, about this mug ahead of time, if I'd known about the Pensingers, it would have made everything a lot easier, right? Like, if I could have had a sense that this was coming on the front end, I would have been in much better shape. But what's the problem? It's not how it works. It's not how it works, is it? We can't know about the mugs and the things that are coming our way, the care on the front end. We only kind of see them when we reflect back, don't we? That is exactly what this Exodus reading is about today. Did you know that? So this Exodus reading, this chunk is from the time after Israel has worshiped the golden calf, which is a real kind of highlight, real moment for them. And there's some blowback. Some people may have died, I'm just saying. And ultimately, God renews the covenant with the people, and he takes Moses up on the mountain and says, look, I'm going to have mercy on who I'm going to have mercy. So deal with it. And Moses says, well, then look, show me your glory. I want to see your face. And God says, look, no one can see my face and live. So There's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. While my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. I will not take away my hand, and then you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, in the rabbinic commentaries about this, they are very emphatic to say, this is not a story that you're meant to walk away and be like, oh, there was this time where like God manifested in a physical form and walked by and Moses watched it and there it was. Although when I was a kid, this was the proof text that I needed to justify the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? Where the Nazis look at the face of God and Indian Marion don't and faces melt. And I was like, there it is, it's in the Bible. Faces are melting. But it's not what the text is about. It's not the point of it. What the point is, the rabbis are really quick to point out, is that when it comes to how God works in the world and how God is active like in our lives and the things that we're in the middle of that we're wondering where they're going, we cannot see what God's up to except in hindsight. We can't see it except as a retrospective. You just can't. You just can't. We want to. We'd love to know ahead of time, but it's not how it works. It's just not how it works. And you know this. Like when we hang out and we talk to people about what God's doing in their life and like struggles that they're going through, I'll frequently ask, and if you've been with me, you know this, I'll be like, so where's God in this? And people will reflect and they'll say, well, I've seen this, 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 and this. It's always a reflection on the past. It's observing what has already happened. It's God's back. It just doesn't work where you see the front. This isn't a story about kind of God's literal body. Remember, that was the problem with the calf, right? When they tried to put some edges on the divine. This is a story about our experience of time, our experience of God's activity in the world, and kind of what we can see, when we can see it, and what we can't. That's what this is kind of getting at. And here's why this is so important. Because this God that meets Moses on the mountain, do you know what he keeps telling Moses and to tell the people or tell the people directly? He keeps telling them to remember, right? Because our anxiety about the things we're in the middle of and our stress, our anxiety is directly related to our memory, directly. Our stress, totally related to our history, okay? Because when we're in the middle of something and we don't know what the outcome's gonna be, we don't know where things are going, we don't know if things are gonna be good or bad, is everything gonna go off the rails? In those moments when we feel stress, the reason we feel stress often is because we have forgotten. And we have forgotten all the times that there was provision when we felt this way before. All the times that we were scared that things were gonna go off the rails, and they didn't. The times that we thought it was gonna be the end of us, but we survived. The times that you thought that sermon was gonna be over, and it was, right? Like, there are moments where this can actually happen. And like, the thing to remember is those moments of provision, y'all, Exodus is telling us, they are not anomalies. They are the way it works. That's how it works. God provides. Think about your own life. There have been times where you didn't think you were going to be able to make it, and you did. There's times that you were worried there wouldn't be provision, and then there was. There was time that things got out of hand, and you wondered, God, can this genie ever get back in the bottle? Is this chaos going to overtake me? And it didn't, right? And that memory is so important, because in our culture, what we often practice remembering are the tragic things. Remember 9/11, you will never forget. And like, that's powerful. That's a powerful thing, that's important. But in the Jewish consciousness, you remembered provision. You even built monuments to it. And God tells the people, remember, I'm the God that liberated you. I brought you out of Egypt. I'm the God that you thought you were never gonna survive the Egyptian army bearing down on you, and I made a way where there wasn't one when I parted the waters. When you were hungry, I provided you food. When you were thirsty, I gave you water. Remember, 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 because your anxiety is directly related to your memory. Now, why I find this so powerful, is there anybody here that might be in the middle of something that's stressing them out? Is there anybody here that isn't in the middle of something that has got them wondering, how is this ever going to work out? Could there ever be an outcome that's going to be positive from this? What is the thing that's got you grinding your teeth at night? What's the thing that's waking you up and you're spinning on it? You know, what's the thing that has you just torqued up? Maybe you've got somebody that you love that's making a lot of self-destructive choices, and you're really worried about, how's this going to go? Well, I don't know where this is going to go. Maybe it's related to your job. You know, you have a choice about a career path, or you're in a job that is killing your soul, and you're wondering if you should leave it. But if I leave it, I don't know where this is going to go, and will there be provision? I can't tell. Maybe there's something about your kids, and they're struggling, and you don't know if they're going to make it. Are they going to be okay? Is there going to be enough? Are they going to, you know, like these kind of things. Maybe it's financial. You're worried about, I don't know. I don't know where rent's coming from next month. I don't know. I'm worried about this. Maybe your marriage is in a rocky place, and you're kind of, I don't know, we're kind of struggling right now. Where's this going? The invitation of this text is to remember that there is a God that is for you, that is taking care of you, and that even if you can't see it in the moment, because we can't, is working all of this toward your goodness and blessing. It's what God does. It's how it goes. It's what God is up to, which means that when you're in the middle of it and you're working to remember, there can be peace for you. There is a crag in the rock where God's hand will cover you and care for you and be like, I gotcha, I gotcha. But your peace, don't mistake it, will not come from predictable outcomes. It will come from communion with God. That's how it works for Moses. Moses doesn't know where this thing is going, but he has this experience of connection with God. And that's where your peace, your rootedness, your groundedness will come from. Nowhere else. If you put your groundedness and your peace and your rootedness in an outcome of your design or one that you can predict, you will only feel more anxiety, more pain, more worry. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh my gosh. So let me tell you a prayer that has really helped me with this. When I get worried that, man, I don't think there's a mug in my future. I don't think that there is somebody that, you know, there may be this connection. I'm stressed about this. It's a simple prayer, and it goes like this. I call up the event, and I'm present to it, and then I say, you've got this. This is the prayer to God. You've got this. Sometimes you can inflect it if you need to. You've got this, right? Depending on where you are, you could add, you've probably got this. That's fine, whatever it is. You know, how is college ever going to work out, right? Will that project get finished? Is the drama going on with my friends right now? Like, I don't know, how's that gonna work? You've got this, right? Like, you can take care of this. This is this prayer, and what it does is it opens you to communion with God. And it starts to give you eyes to be able to look back once the crisis has passed and see all the mugs that came your way and that were there the whole time. You just couldn't see them until it was over, which means while you're waiting, trust the peace and the presence. So, may you go forth from this place with eyes to remember all the provision that's been there for you in the past. And may you remember that mugs like these are not the anomaly. They're just the way it works. Amen.